Those of you that were here last week will remember that Peter shared God's word with us, and he spoke about the obedience of the Lord Jesus Christ and the anointing that was upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And during his ministry last week, which I thoroughly enjoyed, he mentioned a portion of scripture, and it's found in Luke chapter 2. And so we're going to turn to that portion of scripture. Luke chapter 2 and verses 41 to 52. Luke chapter 2, verses 41 to 52. His parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. When he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem according to the custom of the feast. And when he had finished the days, as they returned, the boy Jesus lingered behind in Jerusalem. And Joseph and his mother did not know it. But supposing him to have been in the company, they went a day's journey and sought him amongst their relatives and acquaintances. So when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem seeking him. Now, so it was that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. So when they saw him, they were amazed, and his mother said to him, "Son, why have you done this to us? Look, your father and I have sought you anxiously." And he said to them, "Why did you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my father's business?" But they did not understand the statement which he spoke to them. This morning I have read from the New King James Version, rather than where I would normally be with the English Standard Version, because if you've got the English Standard Version or the New International Version or the New Modern Translations today, you will find that the phrase that I want us to look at doesn't appear in them. The phrase is there in verse 49. "Why did you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my father's business?" The English Standard Version or the NIV, they have something similar which reads, "Did you not know that I must be in my father's house?" Now that's good, isn't it? To be in his father's house. But it doesn't quite seem to have the same ring as the Old King James or the New King James, which says, "I must be about my father's business." And it's that phrase that I picked up on last week when Peter was speaking, and that phrase has just been with me constantly as I've been going through this week. "Did you not know that I must be about my father's business?" Now, I don't know how many of us here today have still got our fathers. I'm one of those that doesn't have my father anymore, but you know, I wondered if we were to be about what our father's business was, I wonder what we'd be doing today. I'd be a farmer boy, or I wouldn't be a boy now, I'd be a farmer, a man. I'd be farming, but I didn't choose to follow in my father's business. And it'd be interesting, we haven't got time, we can't go through it, to find out how many did follow with their father's business. But we find here that Jesus is very clear. He'd gone missing. They find him, he's there in the temple, he's listening, he's asking questions, he's answering questions, and they're astonished at the knowledge that this young lad has. And his parents say to him, "What are you doing here? We've been looking for you, we've been anxious, we've been worried, we've been concerned, we haven't been able to find you anywhere." I find it's a little bit of bad parenting, really, that they've gone so long before they've noticed that the child was missing. But anyway, Jesus replies, "Did you not know that I must be about my father's business. So we could ask the question this morning then, what was his father's business? Or what was it about his father's business that Jesus needed to attend to? Well, I want to suggest this morning that ultimately the business that Jesus needed to attend to was the redemption or the reconciliation of lost humanity. That was the business that Jesus needed to attend to. Salvation. John chapter 1, we read there that Jesus had come to give light. He had come to give life. And later in that same chapter, we find there that he had come because he was to be the Lamb of God who was to take away the sin of the world. In Luke chapter 19, a very familiar portion of scripture, that story where we have Zacchaeus who wanted to see Jesus, and because he was short in stature, he decided to get up into a sycamore so that when Jesus was passing by, he'd be able to see him above the crowds. But we find that Jesus had something different for Zacchaeus, and Zacchaeus was told to come down, and they went to Zacchaeus' house, and we find that Zacchaeus came to that place of surrendering his life, as it were, to the Lord Jesus Christ. And at the end of that account, it says there in verse 10, this is what it says, "For the Son of Man has come," and link this to what Jesus said there in Luke 2, "I must be about my Father's business." Here he says, this is what I've come to do. "The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." That was the business. That was the Father's business that Jesus had come to do, to seek and to save that which was lost. And that well-known verse, John 3:16, says, "For God so loved that he gave," or he sent. So he sent his Son on a mission. He sent his Son to come and to do his business on the earth, so that whoever believes in him will not perish or die, but will have everlasting life. I believe that we can be sure that from a very early age, Jesus knew, or the child Jesus knew, why he had come, why he had been born. And we can only imagine what must have been going around his mind as a young child and growing up, knowing the reason why he had come to earth. And he'd been born not to follow his earthly father's business as a carpenter, although he would do that for a while, but ultimately he was born to fulfill the business that he needed to fulfill for his father who was in heaven. So from this moment in the temple until he reached approximately the age of 30, Jesus may have been about his earthly father's business as a carpenter, but knowing during that time that something far more important lay ahead. And when that moment came, he let the people know what it was all about. We just move to a couple of chapters later, in Luke chapter 4, and there it says, "Then Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and news of him went out through all the surrounding regions, and he taught in their synagogues, being glorified by all. So he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and stood up to read. And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, 'The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord.' Then he closed the book and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, 'Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. So there in the synagogue, he announces what his father's business was. And it was this: I've come to proclaim good news to the poor. I have come to proclaim liberty to the captives. I have come to bring the recovering of sight to the blind. I've come to set at liberty those who were oppressed. And I've come to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour. And for 3 years, this man, Jesus, who was born to fulfil his father's business, began to fulfil this aspect of that business. Preaching, proclaiming, healing, miracle working. And what an incredible 3 years when we see what happened in that space of time. Those that were touched with his hand of healing, those who saw the dead being raised, the amazing miracles that he wrought, the amazing preaching, the words that came out of his mouth as he taught them in so many different ways. And yet, despite it all, despite all the wonder of those 3 years, the most important aspect of his father's business yet still needed to be done or to be attended to. And we find that the important part of the business was to take place at a place called Calvary. It was the work of redemption, and it was to take place on that awful place which we call the cross. And so 3 years after commencing his ministry, we find that he's preparing for the important part of the business. He warns his disciples. He tells them that what is about to take place, and they don't fully understand. And so he takes them into the garden. And there in the garden, he prays that agonizing prayer: Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass. And I'm paraphrasing this morning. It could be put this way: Father, if it is possible, if we can get around this part of the business, let's get around it. Let's find another way. But then he continues, nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. As a lad, about 12 years of age, he said, I must be about my father's business. Here, at about 33 years of age, he's kneeling in the garden. Sweat drops of blood are coming from his brow. And he says, Father, I will go about your business. And so we find he is arrested. There is anguish, and he is brutally beaten. He suffers the agonizing pain, the merciless mocking, the penetrating beatings, the scourging with a cruel crown of thorns that is thrust on his brow. Time to give in, time to give up, time to say no, time to think about it again and say, I can't do it, I will not fulfill this part of my father's business. No, the business needs completing, and he walks agonizingly to the place of the skull, where they lay him down upon the cross, and they nail him to that wooden cross. Yes, wooden nails, as a carpenter with his father in the business there, but wooden nails again in his father's business. And the cross is placed upright, jolting his already bruised body as it thuds into the ground. The searing heat of the sun, the mocking of the crowds. Surely, surely this business can't get any worse. It gets as bad as it seems it could get. But it does. There is more important business to be done. It's recorded for us in 2 Corinthians 5 verse 7. Where it says there that God made him sin who knew no sin. Think of that statement at this moment. God made him sin who knew no sin. What? The sinless one who did no wrong, who went about doing good, becoming sin, Yes, for there on the cross, as he hung in pain and agony, he took our sins, he took our sorrows, and he made them his very own. As God saw that sin, he punished the sin. He poured his wrath out over that sin. And as the important business took place there on the cross of Calvary, God could bear it no more. And he turned away so that the dying, suffering Saviour cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me? And as he suffered there with your sin, with my sin, taking the punishment of that sin, taking the wrath of God towards that sin, we find that he breathed out his last breath and he cries out, it is finished. The Father's business he came to do had been done. The transaction that was necessary to bring about your redemption and mine, to reconcile us back to God, so that we could call him our Father, had taken place. As Peter reminded us last week, he was obedient right to the very end. I want us this morning to stop, and I want us to pause, and I want us to consider what it was that Jesus went through for us as he fulfilled this business for his Father, so that you and I can be redeemed, so that you and I can be reconciled back to God and call him our Father. And so often when we come to share in communion together, it's sad almost that it just becomes 5 or 10 minutes in a part of our service. We just almost sometimes seem to just go through the motions of taking the emblems and passing through it and then continuing. But I want us this morning to stop and to think of the cross. Think of our suffering Saviour. I want you in your mind's eye to see him there in the courtroom first of all. Perhaps go back to the garden, see him arrested, see him being dragged to the courtrooms, see him being beaten, see him being mocked, then see him taking himself in the pain to the place of the skull, see him being placed upon the cross, see those hammers, the hammer coming and banging the nails in, see the cross being lifted and thudding into the ground, but see him there lying on that cross, dying in your place, dying in my place, taking our sin, taking our punishment, taking the wrath of God, so that you and I can be redeemed and reconciled. And so for a moment, think about it. Think about it. Meditate upon it. And in your heart, give thanks this morning for the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. And thank him that he was willing to fulfill his Father's business right through to the end. There where you are, give thanks. Give thanks from grateful hearts. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You don't have to raise your voices, but just where you are, just bring some expressions of thanksgiving now. Just thank him for the cross. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for all that you went through for us. The suffering, the beating, the mocking. Lord, a crown of thorns thrust upon the ground. Those nails being driven into your hands and your feet. Spear that was thrust into your side. Lord, worst of all, you had to take my sin. You are to take my sin, not only my sin, but the sin of my brothers and sisters, not only our sin, but you took the sin of the world upon yourself. Every sin that's been committed from the day that Adam and Eve first transgressed, right to the day, Lord, before you sum up everything, every sin, and you bore the punishment for it. Lord, We want to thank you for that. We thank you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You gave your life to grant us life. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you for the cross, Lord. Thank you for the cross, Lord. Thank you for the cross, Lord. Lord, cause us to be overwhelmed again with your great love towards us. We've heard those songs about your love. Unfailing love. Unfailing love. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you for dying for me. Thank you for dying for me. When you were carrying out this business, Lord, you had me on your mind. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Jesus, bless his name.
Hallelujah.
Bless his name.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Going to hear the words of another hymn, Love Divine and Love's Excelling. And the cross is that place where we see the demonstration of that love. It excels any kind of love, doesn't it? God's love for you and me. And because we come to the cross, we are new creations. And the one verse says, finish then thy new creation. Hallelujah. There's more to take place.
Yeah, thank God.
It's going to be completed. Thank God that he didn't just die, but the Lord Jesus rose again. Triumphant, he grants us new life, and he's building this church, and we're part of that church, and we're going to come to that place where he's going to finish it, he's going to complete it, and we're going to see him. We're going to see this one who completed his Father's business. We're going to see him face to face. Thank you, Lord. We just thank you that we can come and share and communion together, take of these emblems, because we do this in remembrance of you. And we thank you for the cross. Mm-hmm. Thank you that you were willing to be obedient. To go right through to finish that transaction. That we can be saved. Lord, help this to grip us again. The wonder of this redemption. And the wonder of your amazing love for each one of us. So thank you for the cross. Thank you that you are willing for your body to be broken, blood to be shed, that we might be made whole again, reconciled to God. Bless us in the partaking of these emblems. We ask it in your name, for your glory. Amen. So we take of the bread that speaks of our Lord's body, broken for you, broken for me. Take also the cup that speaks of our Lord's blood, shed for you, shed for me, and we do this in remembrance of him till he comes again. And just finally this morning, did you not know I must be about my Father's business? The good news is that Jesus' Father is now our Father. Our Father. We've been adopted into his family.
Oh, bless God. Thank you.
And the Father still has work to do. And we too need to be about our Father's business. As you and me. He calls us to be light in the darkness. He calls us to be salt in this unsavoury world. He calls us to show forth His glory. But He also calls us to go out into the harvest. He calls us to bear much fruit. May we be obedient. As the Son was obedient in going about our Heavenly Father's business. Amen.